In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this last Sunday of the church year, hear these words of Malachi, the prophet, the last prophet in the Old Testament, speaking about the last day of our Lord Jesus Christ's return. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. And in the gospel lesson in Luke, when the one criminal says, "This man," that is Jesus, "has done nothing wrong," Jesus said, and he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the last Sunday in the church year. All over Christendom, congregations and pastors are considering the last day, the day our Lord Jesus Christ returns to take us to paradise. Now, on the last Sunday of the church year, we are concluding this whole year that takes us all the way back to Advent, when from Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Holy Week and Easter and the Ascension and Pentecost, we considered those events of the Lord's life done for us and our salvation. And all summer long, all the way now to almost Thanksgiving, we're considering the life of the church, Christians who are incorporated into Christ in our baptism. And it is fitting on the last day of the church year, before we start this cycle all over again next week in Advent, to consider the last day, the day of our Lord's return. We are in the end times. We have been in the end times ever since Christ ascended and since the day of Pentecost. All the signs of the end are here. False Christs, false prophets, wars, nation against nation, earthquakes, famine, great distress, a great falling away of the faith, persecution of Christians, and then the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all the nations. We are in the end times. And we are awaiting Christ's return upon the clouds. It's called the last day. It's called Judgment Day, Resurrection Day. The word parousia, which means his drawing near to us. The first time he came, he was laid in a manger. The second time he comes, he will come on his glorious throne with the trumpet call of God, and the angels will be sent forward to the four corners of the earth, and the dead shall be raised. That's the last day. Jesus promises you and me, like he promised the thief on the cross, that through faith in Jesus, you also will hear those words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, the picture paradise is this picture of heaven. There are many pictures of heaven, but paradise is this picture. It's the new Garden of Eden in Revelation 21 and 22, where we can eat from the tree of life, where we drink from the river of the water of life, and Jesus again walks right in our midst in this beautiful garden in the cool of the day. We're back in the garden again, paradise with Christ, the Father, and the Spirit in heaven. That is the Christian hope and surety, paradise. So on this last Sunday of the church year, it is fitting to consider the kingdom of God and its coming to us. As the church year comes to its conclusion, soon all of history will come to its conclusion. We rejoice that the kingdom of God has come to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, wherever the King is, there is the kingdom. Where Jesus is present in word and sacrament, there the kingdom is present. But let's talk about just three aspects of this kingdom, as is printed on the back of your bulletin, this way. In view of Christ's return, what is the kingdom of power? Creation. God's power in Jesus over the heavens and the earth. Secondly, the kingdom of grace, redemption at the cross of Calvary. And third, the kingdom of glory, our final sanctification when the throne of heaven appears on that last day. And looking at the kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of glory, you will have a picture of what Jesus' kingdom is. So first of all, Jesus' kingdom of power, going all the way back to the creation of the heavens and the earth. The kingdom of power, of course, includes all three persons of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as St. Paul said in Colossians, is the image of the invisible God. Jesus, the Son of God, is God in human flesh. He is the firstborn of all creation, meaning He is begotten of the Father in eternity. And by Him, all things were created, whether in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. Jesus was that Word by which the Father created the universe. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Through God's Word, let there be light. Jesus was that Word by whom all things were created. And all things were created, St. Paul said, through Him and for Him. John chapter 1, which we read on Christmas Day, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. That's Jesus. All things were created. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Did you know the Son of God was the Son of God in eternity, and then He was the Son of Mary, born of the Virgin Mary, in time. He is the Son of God in eternity, and He shares our human flesh as He was brought into this world in time, through the womb of Mary, and evermore shares our flesh and blood as the God-man, Christ Jesus. Jesus said in the Great Commission, all authority is given to Him in heaven and on earth. And so the first thing to take comfort is, everything seems crazy today. The world seems to be falling apart, but have this surety. Jesus has the kingdom of power. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. You can trust Him for everything. That's the kingdom of power. But then there is also the kingdom of grace, our redemption at the cross of Calvary. That is why you heard the Good Friday account for the gospel lesson this morning. That the throne that Jesus rules from is the throne of His cross. And this throne was the cross of Calvary, where now comes the kingdom of grace. Now we move to what it's like that this Jesus shares our flesh and blood. Jesus is carrying His own cross. He is dragging this wooden cross through the streets of Jerusalem. And the women are wailing and mourning. Jesus says, don't weep for me. Weep for your generation. If they are doing this when the tree is green, what will happen when the tree is dry? Jesus is that green tree who is carrying our cross. It's green now. And they're doing this to Jesus, the Son of God, crucifying Him. When judgment day comes, when the tree is dry and the people say, mountains fall on us, then they will realize that this one that they crucified is the King of glory, the very Son of God. But Jesus was not carrying that cross for Himself, was He? He was carrying it for you and me, to the place of the skull. The word Calvary or Golgotha means the place of the skull, the place where Jesus was nailed to the cross and crowned with thorns. And there, though the soldiers nailed him to that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That is why he is being put upon the cross, to forgive us, for we know not what we do. And even though they mocked Jesus, he saved others, he can't save himself, they spoke the truth. He did not come to save himself. He came to save others. Even though they mocked him, what they said was true. He was the Christ of God. He was the Father's chosen one. He was the King of the Jews. The sign was right. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And when the one thief made the confession of his sins, we are receiving just reward for what we have done. This man has done nothing wrong. This one who is confessing his sin hears the most beautiful words of absolution anyone will ever hear. When Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," meaning your sins are forgiven, and by grace you have the gift of eternal life. This is the same kingdom that he gives you and me, paradise. He says to you, "Your sins have been forgiven. You will be with me in paradise." What is the effect of what Christ did for us in the kingdom of grace? Paul told us this morning, didn't he? You have been delivered from the dominion of darkness and have brought into the kingdom of light of his beloved Son. You have redemption. You have been bought back and have the forgiveness of sins through Jesus, who is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the end. He has all preeminence, and he has reconciled us to the Father, has made peace. How? By the blood of his cross. By the blood of his cross, we have been reconciled. We are at peace with God. And through Christ Jesus, we too hear those words in absolution week after week. "I forgive you your sins." The kingdom of grace is why you are here. By God's grace, Christ has worked in your life through word and sacrament so that you have faith in Christ. Perhaps he used your parents, your grandparents, a Sunday school teacher, a friend, a pastor, a teacher. You are proof that God's kingdom of grace is alive and well because you are here with faith in Christ Jesus, knowing that your sins are forgiven and that through faith in him, covered with his righteousness, you too have the sure hope of paradise. That is the kingdom of grace. The kingdom of power, Jesus says, all power in heaven and on earth. The kingdom of grace, redemption at the cross of Calvary. And lastly, the kingdom of glory, the throne of heaven on the last day. Malachi pictures for us this kingdom of glory. And of course, the gospel lessons give all the details of Jesus' glorious appearing on the last day. Jesus will come because in him all the fullness of the deity dwells bodily. Amazing. The fullness of God dwells bodily in Christ, the God-man. And when he appears in the kingdom of glory, all knees will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. At his glorious return, we will see the Lord God of hosts with our own eyes. On that day, no one can escape that judgment day when the book of remembrance and the book of life is opened by the Lord of hosts. The Lord God of hosts, by the way, the word hosts means the armies of the angels. When he comes with 10,000 times 10,000 angels, we will see he's the Lord of the hosts of all the angels in heaven who watched over us here on earth. And then will come that great division. Just as there was on Jesus' right and left two different thieves, one who believed in him and one who did not. So as the choir sang this morning, "Jesus, that good shepherd will come. And when he comes, there will be this division. There will be the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. On that day, the goats are the arrogant unbelievers, evildoers who tested God, who mocked him, who sinned and didn't believe that they had sinned, who hated the Lord, who loathed God's name, did not belong to God's family, and because of unbelief, were wicked. All their sins still laid upon them, and there is nothing but damnation and hell. And then there is the sheep on the right. The sheep, he says, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. These are the humble believers who serve God, who kept his charge, who mourned over their sins and clung to Christ's forgiveness alone, who feared the Lord, who esteemed God's name. They are his treasured possession. They are the righteous ones because they are accounted righteous by the blood of Christ, and they are clothed in his holy white robes, so that when we are in heaven, we are wearing white robes with palm branches in our hands, praising our Lord Jesus Christ forever. In conclusion, on this last day of the church year, we are awaiting the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. What a day that will be. He will appear with all his holy angels, all of them. The trumpet call of God, the great events of the last day, Resurrection Day, called the Parousia, coming near, are upon us. Meanwhile, Jesus' kingdom is coming to us through the cross and the empty tomb. This resurrected and ascended Lord, who is our intercessor and high priest before God's throne of grace, is coming to you right now through preaching, through teaching, through being baptized, through hearing absolution, when you receive Holy Communion. His kingdom comes to us now, but yet the final day has not yet come. I know this is the frustrating part of the Christian life, the now and the not yet. His kingdom of power is here now. His kingdom of grace is here now, but the kingdom of glory is not yet. That's why the cry of the Christian is echoing John in Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hasten your coming. And so how do we now live today in view of this last day? You be ready to die today, or you be ready for Christ to return today. Let me repeat that. Now this is how we live. I am ready to die today, or I'm ready for Christ to return today. Either way, we have the victory. Either way, we are ready because we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. And we too, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, will hear the same word that Jesus said to the thief. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.